Welcome to Borderline and Back, Hope, Management, and Resiliency for Borderline Personality Disorder. I'm your host, Maggie, and before we get into this episode, this is just your reminder that I'm not a doctor, psychiatrist, psychologist, therapist, counselor, any of those things. I'm just here sharing my experience of managing my borderline personality diagnosis, pardon me, as well as my comorbid ADHD, hoping to be able to share some helpful content, maybe some validating content, personal experiences for those of you listening who might have been diagnosed with BPD recently, those of you who are walking this management journey with me, or if you found this podcast because you are the loved one of someone who has BPD and you're hoping to be able to understand their experiences. Maybe they can't tell you what it is that they go through. And if that is the case, I want to say thank you. I want to thank you for the time that you're taking to try and understand and connect with that loved one. That kind of understanding and that connection will, in my opinion, completely change or help to not necessarily guide the person who's on this management journey, but to help them feel supported in times where they might be feeling more isolated than ever. I'm going to preface this episode by saying that this was a humbling topic for me to cover. And if you are listening, chances are that you are going to relate to what I'm talking about. It might make you feel uncomfortable. It might make or bring up feelings of shame as we work through this together. But I do think it's important for me to share stories like this. Because again, this is where I'm at with management. I'm at the point where I do a lot of reflection and I'm trying to do some healing for myself and for people around me. And the topic that I want to talk to you all about today is relationship repair. Yeah, ouch. Hard. And the reason I'm saying ouch is because to even approach this topic, for me to talk about it, but also to act on it, I had to sit and reflect on actions, behaviors, and the impact that those things have had on those around me, but also reflecting on the actions and behaviors of others, and if I want to, number one, accept apologies, and number two, if I want to work towards relationship repair there. We're going to start with how I've been trying to repair relationships in my life. And one of the big ones that I think about, I know I've talked about before, reframing my relationship with my father and seeing how he shows up as a dad for me and how I can set expectations. I know I've also talked about my relationship with my mom and how that's been shifting. Today I'm going to talk about repairing my relationship with my mother's new husband. It's not really a new husband. They've been married for like 5 years now and they've been together for like 10 or 11. That's not the point. Getting way off track here. I've recently been focusing a lot on our relationship. How I treated him when they first got together. I was about 21, which was right about when things with my BPD started getting very bad. And again, I was completely undiagnosed at that time. How I behaved around him, how I stonewalled him. I acted out. I said terrible things to him. I refused to try and build connection. I painted him to be a villain in my head as the person who was a catalyst for my parents' marriage falling apart. The reason that my mom walked away from my dad. And over the past few years, I've come to realize that that's not the case. That my parents' marriage was deeply flawed. They were both extremely unhappy, and that the healthiest and safest for me thing for my mom was walking away from that marriage. 100%. But again, at 18, 19, it's impossible to recognize those things. I was just very angry and could only focus on how it impacted me and my sister. How I was yet again having to take on parenting roles, or even further take on the parenting of my father, because my mom walked away and he couldn't take care of himself. When it came to my mom's husband, I did not understand his personality. I couldn't wrap my head around things that he said to be in humor or teasing or sarcasm. I took everything personal and everything as an attack. If you hear snoring, that's my dog. She's sleeping beside me and she's super loud when she snores. But like I said, I took everything as an attack. One of the most vivid examples that I can think of, and when I think about this memory, I can actually see it happening. Like, it's so vivid that I can, like, smell the, like, those kind of things. Like, it's deeply, deeply entrenched in my mind. Was we were out at my mom's place, their house, sitting on the deck, and for whatever reason, this is going to sound terrible, but there were cigarette butts sitting around, and my nieces were there, and my sister just wasn't paying attention, and my niece went and put a cigarette butt in her mouth and picked it up, and I freaked out and was like, nope, put it out of the way, like, don't touch that, that's gross, that's bad, and made a comment about, like, how the heck is this even, like, happening? Like, why is this kind of stuff around toddlers that can just grab at things? And my mom's husband made a comment about me being, like, the mean lady. Or even with things where I would discipline the girls for poor behavior. So if they're having a temper tantrum, not continuing on with the behavior, not giving into what they would need. And he would call me the mean lady. And I took that extremely personally, because I was just trying to instill some, not even rules, what's the word? Structure for these girls, to outline that there's consequences to actions, to try and keep them safe. And I thought that he was judging me. Essentially, the way my brain worked through this was that he's calling me out in a way that is stating that I'm not a parent. How dare I try and parent these children? It's not my job. Whereas, especially since my divorce, my diagnosis, and really after my hospitalization, he's really made a point to kind of learn about BPD and how it impacts me, and to change how he communicates with me. And he's actually referenced those moments in the past by saying, I realize how that has impacted you, and I want you to know that it was never my intention for you to feel as if I was attacking you or critiquing your character or what you were doing. I was saying those things through a sarcastic lens, and I was able to tell him that I understand that now, but in the moment it was just something that I could not wrap my head around. I was so angry at you, and any amount of criticism that I received, not just from him but from other people, I would take to heart so quickly, and it would either ruin my day or cause me to lash out in a passive aggressive way, anything kind of like that. Likewise, I have apologized to him profusely for my behaviors, for the stonewalling that I gave him. Anytime I was disrespectful, anytime I said something cruel to him, for not going to their wedding, it was down south, it was going to be really expensive, but not even trying to communicate to him why that was happening, not taking the time to really welcome him to the family. How adamant I have been about him not being my stepdad, to very much articulating that he and his kids are separate family from mine. I had never thought or even considered how my behaviors would have impacted him, because I was operating in a very childish mindset that he's an adult, he should be able to kind of work through it and understand, when really that's not the case. I had struggled very much in the past about dehumanizing other people. It was a lot about me and how I was feeling, not realizing that my behaviors were impacting him negatively as well. In addition to trying to repair the relationship through apologies and coming into that without expecting that apology to be accepted, just being humble and saying, I was a really shitty person to you, and I'm truly sorry for that. I just want you to know that. The other thing that I've been actively working on is trying to build a relationship alongside, so in parallel to communicating that apology, and Honestly, it's been going really well. We've been taking up, or I recently took up golf, and my mom's husband, so I'm playing around with calling him my stepdad, still kind of assessing how I feel about that. We go to the driving range and we go to the golf course, and we're kind of building our relationship that way. I'm letting him teach me something. And one of the last times we went to the course, he actually we were sitting there in the golf cart trying to find a ball because Lord knows I lose like at least two every round that we play. But he made a statement asking if 10 years ago either of us would have thought that we'd be on a golf course building a friendship and being civil to one another. And I said, honestly, no. I was not in a place to be able to do that. But I'm happy that we're working on it now. And I'm proud that we've gotten to this point. In addition to the repair that I've been building between he and I'm also realizing that it's helping to repair the relationship that I have with my mom. I hadn't really even considered the strain that this relationship tension would have had on her, how it would have made her feel even more isolated and made her decision to leave my dad even more difficult. And although I had been able to repair my relationship with her, again, I hadn't considered how their relationship was also part of my relationship with both of them. It's really interesting how relationships work that way. There's so many kind of like tertiary relationships that are involved, and if relationships are tense between one person or two people, they really do trickle down and impact everyone within that unit, within that circle, and can make things worse for others, more strenuous, just based off of exposure. In addition to actively trying to repair the relationships that I can, that I've identified I want to be longer term relationships, people that are going to be in my life for as long as maybe I'm alive or they're alive, I've also been working on accepting relationship repair when people present it to me. An example of this that just happened this week, pardon me, this weekend, was with one of my uncles. Back when I was in university, I was working full time in one job, part time in a second job while doing full time studies. I was extremely busy, extremely overworked, had a lot going on, and I was going to school outside of the city that I grew up in. I was also working in retail, and anyone who's worked in retail, you've probably experienced blackout days. Days that you just are not allowed to take off for vacation. One of those being Boxing Day. It is all hands on deck on Boxing Day unless there's some major extenuating circumstances. The unfortunate part about that is that on my mom's side of the family, our family Christmas get together has always been on Boxing Day. And my one uncle had made a comment about how I'm not committed, or made a comment back when I was in university about not being committed enough to the family, that I don't make time to prioritize the family and be present for activities like that, and that it makes me a bad grandchild, that I don't value family. And I got extremely angry, so angry, frustrated beyond everything because I have to work to pay bills. I have to work to eat. I had to work. I couldn't just make it down here to London. Like, gas is expensive. Everything's expensive, and I'm trying to go to university. I was the first person on that side of my family to go to university, and it's something that I worked really hard for and that I was proud of. And I was feeling so angry at him, feeling so frustrated, thinking that I wasn't being seen. I wasn't being recognized for the struggles that I had, that all this man was doing was attacking my character, not realizing how hard it was for me not to attend those events. And that one interaction completely soured our relationship from the time I was 20 until this past weekend. So 12 years. 12 years of just tension, not even wanting to talk to him, could barely be in the same room as him. When I got married, he was my one uncle that I did not invite to the wedding because I didn't want him to be there. sounds shitty. Like, it makes me feel like a shitty person now. But I just could not stand the idea of him being in the room because of how he had made me feel 5 years previous. Like, I was not able to let that go. I ruminated on it. And something that I'd been toying with before all of this was telling him how that made me feel, the frustration that it made me feel. But this past weekend, we were at a family breakfast. That's something else that we do, is the first Saturday of every month. We just kind of show up at a restaurant and we kind of take over because there's so many of us and we have breakfast together. And on this particular day, he came up to me and asked me if he could talk to me. And he said that he wanted to apologize for being a bad uncle, that he had made a comment all those years ago and that he'd been reflecting on it and that he felt terrible about it, that he hadn't considered what I was going through and the struggles that I had and sacrifices that I was making. And he cried, which made me cry. And in that moment, I was finally able to tell him why it impacted me the way that it had and how difficult it was for me at the time that he said it and all through until now, how it's still something that I think about if I can't make it to a family barbecue or if I can't make it to family breakfast one day. The guilt that I feel and felt and still feel reflecting on times that I miss that, especially when I think about missed connections that I could have had, particularly with my papa now that he's passed away. And when my uncle was hugging me, I just said, thank you. I appreciate that. And I accept your apology. And I said back, like, I'm very sorry for how I behaved as a result of that interaction, that I hope you can forgive me for the stonewalling because I also wasn't a good niece. And something that I want to say is that in both of these cases, repairing those relationships was very hard and very humbling. And in both of these cases, it's turned out well. I haven't yet had an instance where the attempt at a repair or recognition of bad behavior, damaging behavior, poor interactions hasn't been received well. But I do recognize that that's something that I need to prepare myself for. That in attempting to reconcile behaviors or repair relationships, you and I need to be prepared that that might not go our way. And knowing that we're able to take care of ourselves if that happens, that just because somebody doesn't want to repair a relationship, I don't want you to think that you're being rejected. I want you to know that being vulnerable enough to recognize behaviors that were unpleasant, that were damaging, that were hostile. Like I said, it's so incredibly vulnerable, and it's something that you should be proud of to even be able to sit with and say that, hey, like, this is the language I could say to myself, that, like, I was a shitty person, that in the height of what I was experiencing, I lashed out, and I'm not proud of that, and I can sit here and be humble enough to communicate to another person that while what I was feeling may have been valid, I did not communicate it properly. I was completely out of line with how I reacted, and I didn't see you for the person that you were. I didn't see you as a human in that moment. The only thing that I was addressing was my own discomfort, my own feelings, my own fear, or even my own sense of rejection. Which is hard to say. Like, nothing about relationship repair is necessarily easy. And I don't want you to romanticize it, thinking that it's always going to be okay. That's something that I've had to be checking for myself, is being like, Maggie, you know what? It's not a fairy tale. It's not a movie. Things aren't going to necessarily wrap up and be clean. That as you work through relationship repair, that there is still going to be moments where things are hard, that there might be pauses, there might be a bit of a setback, but even in those setbacks, there's something for me to learn for next time and to continue to change how I communicate, to continue to change expectations, to continue to really work on being the person that I want to be in relationships, the person that I'm trying to show up as, but to also, through this relationship repair, to build boundaries for the relationships that I have around me and to build boundaries for myself with how I show up to people, to give myself some respect, or not just myself, to respect interactions with people around me enough that if I'm starting to get to a point where I'm getting to kind of that red line of interactions, if I'm feeling too emotionally charged, that I respect myself enough and honor the type of person that I want to be, as well as respect the person that I'm speaking to enough to say, hey, I need a timeout and I'm going to step back. Let's come back to this in an hour or so. Through working through relationship repair, I'm also working on how I want to build relationships now. And I think that that's a huge theme of this podcast, actually, is how I walk through relationship building as I'm managing my BPD. How I want to show up in relationships. How I recognize that my behaviors impact relationships with those around me, but also learning how to, I don't like using the word train, but how to set expectations for people around me when it comes to the relationships that I'm going to allow them to have with me. Something that I'm really learning is self-respect, boundaries, and really learning to break people-pleasing behaviors. I've realized that in the past, people-pleasing and the impact that that has on me has really been a catalyst to outbursts, to episodes, to tantrums that have really played a significant factor into relationship degradation in my life. So really, to summarize this episode, what I want to say and what I've said throughout season one and season two, where we're at so far, is that growth happens in the discomfort. That after you get through really the crisis management stage, the emotional regulation and the distress tolerance that comes with BPD, the next phase of growth is working through the discomfort and those core wounds, really reflecting, recognizing behaviors, and deciding who you want to be as a person. That's really what management means for me at this point. And what I want to say is that even if you are an extremely shitty person, if relationship repair is something that's important to you, if it's part of your moral compass, if it's part of the journey you want to walk and the person that you want to be, that vulnerability is worth it. I've mentioned it before, and if you look on the link in the link tree to Amazon, I have a ton of Brené Brown books there. She talks about vulnerability a lot, and I think that truly vulnerability is one of the hardest things that you'll ever experience. It feels gross while you get used to being vulnerable, but it is truly something that has changed my life, and I'm still not great at it. It's just something that I'm actively working on. It's through vulnerability that I've slowly been starting to actually build the type of connections and relationships with people that I want to have. I want to encourage you that if you're at the point of management where you're able to work through discomfort and to do something hard like relationship repair, that it is worth it, regardless of the outcome. Try. It's hard, but it's extremely rewarding, either through the repair of that relationship or to just recognize that you are able to recognize where you've been, potentially a very awful person, to recognize how your behaviors impacted other people, and to truly show an amount of humility and self-awareness that when you are in the throes of this disorder, at least in my experience, you're not able to recognize. I wasn't able to recognize. So until the next episode, like I always say, a lot of the times we can feel overwhelmed, we can feel flooded, we can feel like we're not doing enough, that we should be doing more to manage our BPD, that we need to be perfect. And I want to remind you that it's about progress, not perfection. Try and be the best person that you can be every single day. Tomorrow you're going to be a better person than you were today. And today you're a better person than you were yesterday. Give yourself some grace. We are our own worst critics. And something that I want to do for myself and that I challenge you all to do is to be a little kinder to yourself, to give yourself a little bit more self-love. A reminder to be your own favorite person. Love yourself more than you love anyone else and to be your own number one fan, your own advocate, and really the person that you can turn to for support and for your own emotional needs. And until the next episode, take care of yourself. Thank you for listening.